Part 21. The Life of Feeling. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. In connection with your conversion, there was no greater hindrance in your way than feeling. You thought, perhaps for years, that you must experience something, must feel and perceive something in yourselves. It was to you as if it were too hazardous thus simply, and without some feeling, to believe in the Word, and be sure, that God had received you, and that your sins were forgiven. But at last you have had to acknowledge that the way of faith, without feeling, was the way of the Word of God. And it has been to you the way of salvation. Through faith alone have you been saved, and your soul has found rest and peace. In the further life of the Christian there is no temptation that is more persistent and more dangerous than this same feeling. The word feeling we do not find in Scripture, but what we call feeling the Scripture calls seeing. And it tells us without easing that not seeing, but believing, that believing right in opposition to what we see, gives salvation. Abraham, not being weak in faith, considered not his own body. Faith adheres simply to what God says. The unbelief that would see shall not see, the faith that will not see, but has enough in God, shall see the glory of God. The man who seeks for feeling, and mourns about it, shall not find it, the man who cares not for it shall have it overflowing. Whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Faith in the Word becomes later on sealed with true feeling by the Holy Spirit. Child of God, learn to live by faith. Let it be fixed with you that faith is God's way to a blessed life. When there is no feeling of liveliness in prayer, when you feel cold and dull in the inner chamber, live by faith. Let your faith look upon Jesus as near, upon His power and faithfulness, and, though you have nothing to bring to Him, believe that He will give you all. Feeling always seeks something in itself, faith keeps itself occupied with what Jesus is. When you read the Word, and have no feeling of interest or blessing, read it yet again in faith. The Word will work and bring blessing, the Word worketh in those that believe. When you feel no love, believe in the love of Jesus, and say in faith, that He knows that you still love Him. When you have no feeling of gladness, believe in the inexpressible joy that there is in Jesus for you. Faith is blessedness, and will give joy to those who are not concerned about the self-sufficiency that springs from joy, but about the glorification of God that springs from faith. Jesus will surely fulfill His word, "Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed," said I not unto thee, that, if thou believedst, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Betwixt the life of feeling and the life of faith the Christian has to choose every day. Happy is he who, once for all, has made the firm choice, and every morning renews the choice, not to seek or listen for feeling, but only to walk by faith, according to the will of God. The faith that keeps itself occupied with the Word, with what God has said, and, through the Word, with God Himself and Jesus His Son, shall taste the blessedness of a life in God above. Feeling seeks and aims at itself, faith honors God, and shall be honored by Him. Faith pleases God, and shall receive from Him the witness in the heart of the believer, that he is acceptable to God. Lord God, the one, the only thing that Thou desirest of Thy children is that they should trust Thee, and that they should always hold converse with Thee in that faith. Lord, let it be the one thing in which I seek my happiness, to honor and to please Thee by a faith that firmly holds Thee, the invisible, and trusts Thee in all things. Amen. 1. There is indeed something marvelous in the new life. It is difficult to make it clear to the young Christian. The Spirit of God teaches him to understand it after he perseveres in grace. Jesus has laid the foundation of that life in the first word of the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," a feeling of deep poverty and of royal riches, of utter weakness and of kingly might, exist together in the soul. To have nothing in itself, to have all in Christ, that is the secret of faith. And the true secret of faith is to bring this into exercise, and, in hours of barrenness and emptiness, still to know that we have all in Christ. 2. Forget not that the faith, of which God's Word speaks so much, stands not only in opposition to works, but also in opposition to feeling, and therefore that for a pure life of faith you must cease to seek your salvation, not only in works, but also in faith. Therefore let faith always speak against feeling. When feeling says, "In myself, I am sinful, I am dark, I am weak, I am poor, I am sad," let faith say, "In Christ, I am holy, I am light, I am strong, I am rich, I am joyful." Part 22. The Holy Ghost. "And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Galatians 4:6. The great gift of the Father, through whom He obtained salvation and brought it near to us, is the Son. On the other hand, the great gift of the Son, whom He sends to us from the Father, to apply to us an inner and effectual salvation, is the Holy Spirit. As the Son reveals and glorifies the Father, so the Spirit reveals and glorifies the Son. The Spirit is in us to transfer to us the life and the salvation that are prepared in Jesus, and to make them wholly ours. Jesus, who is in heaven, is made present in us, dwells in us, by the Spirit. We have seen that, in order to become partaker of Jesus, there are always two things necessary: the knowledge of the sin that is in us, and of the redemption that is in Him. It is the Holy Spirit who continually promotes this double work in believers. He reproves and comforts, He convinces of sin and He glorifies Christ. The Spirit convinces of sin. He is the light and the fire of God, through whom sin is unveiled and consumed. He is the Spirit of judgment and of burning, by whom God purifies His people. To the anxious soul who complains that he does not feel his sin deeply enough, we must often say that there is no limit as to how deep his repentance must be. He must come daily just as he is. The deepest conviction oftentimes comes after conversion. To the young convert we have simply to say, "Let the Spirit, who is in you, convince you always of sin. Sin, which formerly you knew but by name, He will make you hate. Sin, which you had not seen in the hidden depths of your heart, He will make you know, and with shame confess. Sin, of which you fancied that it was not with you, and which you had judged severely in others, He will point out to you in yourself. And He will teach you with repentance and self-condemnation, to cast yourself upon grace as entirely sinful, in order to be thereby redeemed and purified from it. Beloved brother, the Holy Spirit is in you as the light and fire of God, to unveil and to consume sin. The temple of God is holy, and this temple you are. Let the Holy Spirit in you have full mastery, to point out and expel sin. After He makes you know sin, He will at every turn make you know Jesus, as your life and your sanctification. And then shall the Spirit who rebukes also comfort. He will glorify Jesus in you, will take what is in Jesus and make it known to you. He will give you knowledge concerning the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse, and the power of Jesus' indwelling to keep. He will make you see how literally, how completely, how certainly Jesus is with you every moment, to do Himself all His own Jesus' work in you. Yea, in the Holy Spirit, the living, almighty, and ever-present Jesus shall be your portion. You shall also know this, and have the full enjoyment of it. The Holy Spirit will teach you to bring all your sin and sinfulness to Jesus, and to know Jesus with His complete redemption from sin as your own. As the Spirit of sanctification, He will drive out sin in order that He may cause Jesus to dwell in you. Beloved young Christian, take time to understand and to become filled with the truth, the Holy Spirit is in you. Review all the assurances of God's Word that this is so. Pray, think not for a moment of living as a Christian without the indwelling of the Spirit. Take pains to have your heart filled with the faith that the Spirit dwells in you, and will do His mighty work, for through faith the Spirit comes and works. Have a great reverence for the work of the Spirit in you. Seek Him every day to believe, to obey, to trust, and He will take and make known to you all that there is in Jesus. He will make Jesus very glorious to you and in you. O my Father, I thank Thee for this gift, which Jesus sent me from Thee, the Father. I thank Thee that I am now the temple of Thy Spirit, and that He dwells in me. Lord, teach me to believe this with the whole heart, and to live in the world as one who knows that the Spirit of God is in him to lead him. Teach me to think with deep reverence and filial awe on this, that God is in me. Lord, in that faith I have the power to be holy. Holy Spirit, reveal to me all that sin is in me. Holy Spirit, reveal to me all that Jesus is in me. Amen. 1. The knowledge of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is for us of just as much importance as the knowledge of the person and the work of Christ. 2. Concerning the Holy Spirit, we must endeavor especially to hold fast the truth that He is given as the fruit of the work of Jesus for us, that He is the power of the life of Jesus in us, and that through Him, Jesus Himself, with His full salvation, dwells in us. 3. In order to enjoy all this, we must be filled with the Spirit. This simply means, emptied of all else and full of Jesus. To deny ourselves, to take up the cross, to follow Jesus. Or rather, this is the way in which the Spirit leads us to His fullness. No one has the power to enter fully into the death of Jesus but he who is led by the Spirit. But He takes him that desires this by the hand and brings him. 4. As the whole of salvation, the whole of the new life is by faith, so is this also true of the gift and the working of the Holy Spirit. By faith, not by works, not in feeling, do I receive Him, am I led by Him, am I filled with Him. 5. As clear and definite as my faith is in the work that Jesus only and alone finished for me, so clear and definite must faith be in the work that the Holy Spirit accomplishes in me, to work in me the willing and the performing of all that is necessary for my salvation. Part 23. The Leading of the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8:14-16. It is the very same Spirit that leads us as children, who also assures us that we are children. Without His leading there can be no assurance of our filiation. True full assurance of faith is enjoyed by him who surrenders himself entirely to the leading of the Spirit. In what does this leading consist? Chiefly in this, that our whole hidden inner life is guided by Him to what it ought to be. This we must firmly believe. Our growth and increase, our development and progress, is not our work but His. We are to trust Him for this. As a tree or animal grows and becomes large by the Spirit of life, which God has given to it, so also does the Christian by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have to cherish the joyful assurance that the Spirit, whom the Father gives to us, does with divine wisdom and power guide our hidden life, and bring it where God will have it. Then there are also special directions of this leading. He will lead you into all the truth. When we read the Word of God, we are to wait upon Him, to make us experience the truth, the essential power of what God says. He makes the Word living and powerful. He leads us into a life corresponding to the Word. When you pray, you can reckon upon His leading. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He leads us to what we must desire. He leads us into the way in which we are to pray, trustfully, persistently, mightily. In the way of sanctification it is He that will lead. He leads us in the path of righteousness. He leads us into all the will of God. In our speaking and working for the Lord, He will lead. Every child has the Spirit. Every child has need of Him to know, and to do the work of the Father. Without Him no child can please or serve the Father. The leading of the Spirit is the blessed privilege, the sure token, the only power of a child of God. And how then can you fully enjoy this leading? The first thing that is necessary for this is faith. You must take time, young Christian, to have your heart filled with a deep and living consciousness that the Spirit is in you. Read all the glorious declarations of your Father and His Word concerning what the Spirit is in you and for you, until the conviction wholly fills you that you are really a temple of the Spirit. Ignorance or unbelief on this point makes it impossible for the Spirit to speak in you and to lead you. Cherish an ever-abiding assurance that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then the second thing that is necessary is this: you are to hold yourself still, to attend to the voice of the Spirit. As the Lord Jesus acts, so does the Spirit. As the Lord Jesus acts, so does also the Spirit. He shall not cry, nor lift up His voice. He whispers gently and quietly. Only the soul that sets itself very silently towards God can perceive His voice and guidance. When we become to a needless extent engrossed with the world, with its business, its cares, its enjoyments, its literature, its politics, the Spirit cannot lead us. When our service of God is a bustling and working in our own wisdom and strength, the Spirit cannot be heard in us. It is the weak, the simple, who are willing to have themselves taught in humility, that receive the leading of the Spirit. Sit down every morning. Sit down often in the day, to say, Lord Jesus, I know nothing, I will be silent, let the Spirit lead me. And then, be obedient. Listen to the inner voice, and do what it says to you. Fill your heart every day with the Word, and when the Spirit puts you in mind of what the Word says, betake yourself to the doing of it. So you become capable of further teaching. It is to the obedient that the full blessing of the Spirit is promised. For this reason the Word of God presently states by name the sins, against which above all we are to be on our guard. Mark only the four great sins that Paul mentions in connection with our text. There is first lying. There is no single sin that in the Bible is so brought into connection with the devil as lying. Lying is from hell, and it goes on to hell. God is the God of truth. And the Holy Spirit cannot possibly carry forward His blessed working in a man or woman that lies, that is insincere, that doesn't agree to the truth. Young Christian, review with care what the Word of God says about lying and liars, and pray God that you may never speak anything but the literal truth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Then there is anger. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you. Hastiness, proneness to anger, sin of temper is, along with lying, the most common sin by which the Christian is kept back from increase in grace. Christian, let all passionateness be put away from you. This follows on the command not to grieve the Spirit. Believe that the Holy Spirit, the great power of God, is in you. Surrender yourself every day to His indwelling, in faith that Jesus can keep you by Him. He will make and keep you gentle. Yea, believe, I pray you, in the power of God, and of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit to overcome temper. Confess the sin, God shall cleanse you from it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Then there is stealing, all sin against the property or possession of my neighbor, all deception and dishonesty in trade, whereby I do wrong to my neighbor, and seek my own advantage at his cost. The law of Christ is love, whereby I seek the advantage of my neighbor as well as my own. Oh, the love of money and property, which is inseparable from self-seeking, it is incompatible with the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Christian must be a man who is known as honest to the backbone, righteous, and loving his neighbor as himself. Then says the Apostle, no corrupt speech, but such as is good for edifying, as the case may be. Even the tongue of God's child belongs to his Lord. He must be known by his mode of speech. By his speaking, he can grieve or please the Spirit. The sanctified tongue is a blessing not only to his neighbors, but to the speaker himself. Foul talk, idle words, foolish jests, they grieve the Holy Spirit. They make it impossible for the Spirit to sanctify and to comfort, and to fill the heart with the love of God. Young Christian, I pray you, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by these or other sins. If you have committed such sins, confess them, and God will cleanse you from them. By the Holy Spirit you are sealed. If you would walk in the stability and joy of faith, listen to the word, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Lord God, my Father in heaven, do, I pray thee, cause me to understand what marvelous grace thou art manifesting to me, in that thou hast given to me thy Holy Spirit in my heart. Lord, let this faith buy the argument and the power for cleansing me from every sin. Holy Jesus, sanctify me, that in my thinking, speaking, acting, in all things, thine image may appear. Amen. 1. The thought of the Christian about this word, grieve not the Holy Spirit, is a touchstone as to whether he understands the life of faith. For some it is a word of terror and fear. A father once brought a child to the train, to go on a journey with the new governess, with whom she was to remain. Before her departure he said, I hear that she is very sensitive and takes things much amiss, take care that you do nothing to grieve her. The poor child had no pleasant journey, it appeared to her very grievous to be in anxious fear of one who was so prone to take anything wrong amiss. This is the view of the Holy Spirit which many have, a being whom it is difficult to satisfy, who thinks little of our weakness, and who, even though we take pains, is discontented when our work is not perfect. 2. Another father also brought his daughter to the train to go on a journey, and to be a time from home, but in company with her mother, whom she loved very dearly. You are to be a good child, said the father, and do everything to please your mamma, otherwise you shall grieve her and me. Oh, certainly, papa, was the joyful answer of the child. For she felt so happy to be with her mother, and was willing to do her utmost to be agreeable to her. There are children of God to whom the Holy Spirit is so well known in his tender, helpful love, and the comforter and the good spirit, that the word, grieve not the Spirit of God, has for them a gentle, encouraging power. May our fear to grieve him always be the tender childlike fear of trustful love. Part 25. Flesh and Spirit. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. It is of great importance for the young Christian to understand that there are in him two natures, which strive against one another. If we weigh the texts noted above, we shall see that the Word of God teaches us the following truths on this point. Sin comes from the flesh. The reason why the Christian still does sin is that he yields to the flesh, and does not walk by the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit and lives by the Spirit, but every Christian does not walk by the Spirit. If he walks by the Spirit, he will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So long as there are still in the Christian strife and envy, the Word of God calls him carnal. He would indeed do good, but he cannot. He does what he would not, because he still strives in his own strength and not in the power of the Spirit. The flesh remains under the law, and seeks to obey the law. But through the flesh the law is powerless, and the endeavor to do good is vain. Its language is, I am carnal, sold under sin, to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. This is not the condition in which God would have his child remain. The Word says, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to work. The Christian must not only live by the Spirit, but also walk by the Spirit. He must be a spiritual man, and abide entirely under the leading of the Spirit. If he thus walks, he will no longer do what he would not. He will no longer remain in the condition of Romans 7, as a newborn babe, still seeking to fulfill the law, but in Romans 8:1, who through the Spirit is made free from the law with its commandment, do this, which gives no power, but brings death, and who walks, not in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the Spirit. There are Christians that begin with the Spirit, but end with the flesh. They are converted, born again through the Spirit, but fall unconsciously into a life in which they endeavor to overcome sin and be holy through their own exertion, through doing their best. They ask God to help them in these their end of hours, and think that this is faith. They do not understand what it is to say, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, and that therefore they are to cease from their own end of hours, in order to do God's will, wholly and only through the Spirit. Child of God, pray, learn what it is to say of yourself, just as you are, even after the new birth, I am carnal, sold under sin. Endeavor no longer to be doing your best, and to be praying to God, and to be trusting Him to help you. No, learn to say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. Let your work every day be to have the Spirit work in you, to walk by the Spirit, and you shall be redeemed from the life of complaining, the good that I would I do not, into a life of faith, in which it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do. Lord God, teach me to acknowledge with all my heart that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth nothing good. Teach me also to cease from every thought, as if I could with my own end of hours serve or please Thee. Teach me to understand that the Spirit is the Comforter, who frees me from all anxiety and fear about my own powerlessness, in order that He may work the strength of Christ in me. Amen. 1. In order to understand the conflict betwixt flesh and spirit, we must especially seek to have a clear insight into the connection between Romans 7 and 8. In Romans 7:6, Paul had spoken of the twofold way of serving God, the one in the oldness of the letter, the other in the newness of the Spirit. In Romans 7:14-16, he describes the first, in Romans 8:1-16 the second. This appears clearly when we observe that in chapter 7 he mentions the Spirit but once, the law more than 20 times, in Romans 8:1-16, the Spirit 16 times. In Romans 7 we see the regenerate soul, just as he is in himself with his new nature, desirous, but powerless, to fulfill the law, mourning as one who is captive under the law of sin. In Romans 8 we hear him say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ made me free from the law of sin. Romans 7 describes the ever-abiding condition of the Christian, contemplated as renewed, but not experiencing by faith the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 is life in the freedom, which the Spirit of God really gives from the power of sin. 2. It is of very great importance to understand that the conflict between grace and works, between faith and one's own power, between the Holy Spirit and confidence in ourselves and the flesh, always continues to go on, not only in connection with conversion and the reception of the righteousness of God, but even further, into a walk in this righteousness. On this account the Christian has to watch very carefully against the deep inclination of his heart still, to work in his own behalf, when he sees in himself anything wrong or when he would follow after holiness, instead of always and only trusting in Jesus Christ, and so serving God in the Spirit. 3. In order to make clear the opposition between the two methods of serving God, let me adduce consecutively in their entirety the passages, in which they are expressed with special distinctness. Compare them with care. Pray God for the Spirit in order to make you understand them. Take deeply to heart the lesson as to how you are to serve God well, and how not. The circumcision of the heart, in the Spirit, not in the letter. To him that worketh not but believeth, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Ye are not under the law but under grace. We have been discharged from the law, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The ordinance of the law is fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Ye received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption. The righteousness, which is of the law is, the man, that doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness, which is of faith saith thus, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend? Who shall descend? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. If it is by grace, it is no more of works. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I live, and yet no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. The righteous shall live by faith, yet the law is not of faith, but the man, that doeth these things shall live by them. If the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. So that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. Walk by the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Another priest, who hath been made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. 4. Beloved Christian, you have received the Holy Spirit from the Lord Jesus, to reveal him and his life in you, and to mortify the working of the body of sin. Pray much to be filled with the Spirit. Live in the joyful faith that the Spirit is in you, as your comforter and teacher, and that through him all will come right. Learn by heart this text, and let it live in your heart and on your lips. We are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh.